Hi, I'm Tom Zalatni.
And I'm Tafra Jamian.
And you're listening to the No Bad Food Podcast. If you're new here, welcome. This is a show about great food and the people who love to make and eat it.
Our mandate is simple: to explore, taste, and learn about food in ways that celebrate all the things that make it great. Every week, we dig into a different dish, meal, ingredient, cuisine, or piece of food media, exploring the history and culture around it, sharing favorite recipes, and learning from our wonderful guests. The only rule?
You gotta love it.
After all, there's no such thing as bad food. Before we dig in, we'd like to take a minute to acknowledge that the studio where we're recording is situated within the traditional and unsurrendered territories of the Ganyangahaga First Nations. As settlers, it's important that we remember that the lands we occupy are not our own, and that we engage in conversations, even the difficult conversations that challenge the colonial mindset. We encourage you to take some time today and every day to reflect on your relationship with the land you live on and with the Indigenous communities of that area, and to reflect on the responsibilities of maintaining an anti-colonial perspective.
I saw a cool idea this morning shared in an Instagram story that was when you file your taxes this year, including a letter in your tax form, like as a supplemental document to, the government, informing them that you object to them spending your tax dollars on war and
genocide
and, you know, the military and various things, whatever you object to, really. There's no concrete result that can come from that, except that it is a way of like pressuring them. And, you know,
if
you threaten to withhold your tax dollars, then maybe one day you will actually withhold your tax dollars, right? Like, that's the kind of message that sends them. So that's kind of a neat thought experiment this morning.
I mean, I think it's especially interesting when you look at how, with the current genocide going on in Palestine, how that the boycotts to some of the major supporters like Starbucks and McDonald's have been very effective.
Actually working,
like, very, very effective in pressuring those companies and in hurting them financially. Yeah, and I think considering where we have power, it's so often so easy to feel disempowered as members of society, because we do functionally live in an oligarchy, in like a global oligarchy at this point. And when you're not a member of that ruling class, it's really hard to feel like you can make a difference.
Yeah.
But as the French Revolution taught us, what does Gavroche say?
Little people knows when little people's fights. We might look easy pickings, but we got some bite.
Exactly. So don't kick a dog because he's just a pup. You better run for cover when the pup grows up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And pups are... I got off track here. So yes, think about...
So here's the Paw Patrol.
And capitalism. Think about where you hold power. Think about where your power lies. Because you do have power.
Yeah.
Even just the power of an example. Even just the power of speaking up.
Yeah. I mean, think about it this way. Like, you can't actually tell them what to do with your tax dollars.
Yeah.
Let's be frank. But making somebody at the tax office read a note that you have submitted as an official document that says, hey, I don't want you to spend my tax dollars on this bullshit, that is still taking money away from the government, because it takes that much of that employee's time to read it, right?
That's a good point. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Clog up the bureaucracy with spite.
Exactly.
Tried and true revolutionary tactic, actually.
Honestly. Flood the inboxes. Stuff the ballot box. We saw it this year on Munch Madness. Let's see it this year in the world government.
And speaking of voting and upsets...
This is a bizarre transition, but let's do it.
Let's get into it.
Let's do it. Guys, it's that time of year again where 16 foods go head-to-head in intense matchups week after week to determine which food deserves to win the title of Food of the Year. In addition to the crown, the winner gets bragging rights and a bunch of extra content dedicated to it for the rest of our 2024 season. This is Munch Madness.
Wait, they're going to get a whole season of the crown dedicated to them?
Speaking of dead monarchs.
Let's get down to business.
Well, yeah.
Before we dive in, we need to report the results of our latest social media tiebreaker round.
Yeah.
Last week, we had a classic tie between potatoes and rice, two starches, both alike in dignity. So we asked you to vote over on Instagram. So we asked you to vote over on Instagram at Instagram at No Bad Food Pod.
You can't do it.
And give me a drum roll.
I'm warning you.
I said a drum roll, not a beat, not a sick beat. With a vote of 58 to 42, sweeping the boards.
With peace and love.
Rice will be moving on to represent the People's Choice Division in the semifinals. Indeed. From fourth seed to semifinalist. Rice has really got its eye on the prize. I know a lot of you have been rooting for this humble grain. It has really been probably the loudest fan favorite over the years.
Yeah.
And, you know, you came together and you made it happen.
Yeah. I do think it's funny. Rooting is a word you would use with potatoes more than rice, but rest in potato. I'm a little sad to see potato go, I'm not going to lie. Rice, I wish we had been able to see these guys in the semis or in the finale, you know?
That's okay, though.
Yeah.
There's always next year.
And if rice wins, by decree of the United States government, potato will become the new vice president of America. So.
Well, we're having a starch-only government?
Yeah.
The government's all white. Classic.
Well, all right, folks, we got two more exciting quarterfinal matches this week. First up, we have our white right in division, where second seed Salt looks to dethrone first seed Soup. Soup has been a fan favorite this year, but Salt is in literally everything and may just give it a run for its money.
Then we have our champignons bracket, where last year's third and fourth seeds, Hot Sauce and Berries, are ready to duke it out for a coveted spot in the semis.
It's a clash of sweet versus spicy, but it's got us yelling, "Ooh, mommy." Which one will win? There's only one way to find out. Let's throw it to our first guest judge.
I hate you.
So our first guest judge here on the second quarterfinal round of No Bad Food Munch Madness 2024 is Erica Jacobs Perkins. Erica is a violinist, music teacher, messy cook, and maybe most significantly to us, a supporter of our Patreon over at patreon.com/nobadfoodpod. Erica, thank you so much for joining us tonight, and also thank you for all of your support over the years.
Thank you for having me.
So, when you say you're a messy cook, tell me a little about that before we get started.
So, this is a proud family tradition. There's family lore that my great-grandmother, when she cooked, used every single dish in the kitchen every time she cooked. And my mom learned to cook alongside her, and my sister and I learned to cook with my mom. Put the three of us in one kitchen, and everybody who is familiar with us runs away and leaves us to deal with our own mess. But I won't take you on a tour of my kitchen right now, but it's 8:40 at night. I was working this evening. We cooked dinner. You can imagine what it looks like. Just every flat surface is covered with dirty dishes. It doesn't help that my 15-month-old likes to take all of the clean dishes out of the cupboard right now, too.
Sure, sure.
So nothing stays in the cupboards even when it's clean. So it's a bit amplified at the moment, but I'm enthusiastic and I love to cook and I don't know how to cook simple meals. And I've just started to accept that, and I married someone who doesn't mind doing my dishes. So that's my long-term strategy.
There you go, there you go. Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, as far as reasons for being a messy cook go, making a ton of stuff and using all the dishes in the house to make a really elaborate meal is probably the best reason, right?
Yeah, for sure. But like, I also have guests come over and they point out that there's, you know, old bread dough on my ceiling, which I think my sister put that there, but it was on my ceiling six sure. months later. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Look, we've all
and
been there.
When we had roommates, I would have roommate siblings show up and just quietly clean corners of my kitchen for me that I didn't even notice were there.
I just feel like people who don't have young children don't understand. Because, like,
it is true. Yes.
Like, when Toby was less than a year old, our dishwasher broke. And we had a kitchen that looked like that 100% of the time. And our landlord came by at one point and like freaked out and was like, "You guys are going to get vermin." And I was like, "We have a 9-month-old and a broken dishwasher. You need to get the fuck out of here right now."
I thought you were going to say, "We have vermin. His name is Toby." Because, you know, that's how I feel about my toddlers sometimes.
I mean, that's also super fair. All right. Well, on that note, let's dive into our first matchup today. So you have two matchups to vote on today. The winners of them will go on to the semifinals, which means that whichever two of the four foods talked about today end up winning this round will have a guaranteed spot in next year's tournament in the winner's bracket. So that's very exciting. The first matchup today comes from our write-in division, and that is salt versus soup. How are you feeling about that?
I'm so conflicted on this one. So I'm usually a huge soup person. I love soup. It's so versatile. I read your soup recipes in the Recipe Club this month, and the sort of the standard soup in your house, the kale and sausage one, is very similar to my soup. I call it a formula, not a recipe, but it's something green and leafy plus some grain plus any kind of protein.
Sure.
And then if you want it to be a salad, you add a dressing. But if you want it to be a soup, you cook it in broth.
Sure, sure.
And it's just so easy. It's cheap, or it can be cheap until you start adding fancy ingredients. It's really good for using things up in the cupboard. I've just been in such not a soup mood this winter, and I really couldn't tell you why. But every time we end up with extra root vegetables, I know that soup would be the easiest way to use them. You just cut them up and you add some bacon fat, and then you put broth on it, and then it's a soup, and you don't even have to think about it. And
right.
I just haven't felt like eating wet things. I wonder if it's a problem of vocabulary. So my sister and I were both making broth today, unbeknownst to each other. She lives in Germany, and we started texting each other pictures of our disgusting looking broth pots. And I had been saving, as I do, vegetable scraps and bones and whatever in my freezer for a couple months, and I'm doing a spring cleaning freezer clean out, and I just dumped it all in a pot and covered it with water. And at one point in the past, my sister had a roommate who called that trash water.
Sure.
And that is what it looked like today. It smelled great. It smelled like, you know, farm-raised organic whatever chickens, but it looked like garbage.
Yeah.
And I think that's why. I think I just probably should stop calling it trash water and tell myself that I'm making bone broth.
I mean, it's tough, right? Because like when you're not making a broth, the process of making soup is beautiful. But when you're making a broth, it really is kind of disgusting looking until you've like sifted out all of the chunks, right?
Yeah. And then there's the question of like what happens to the bones afterwards and getting them into the compost without getting broth all over the kitchen. Thankfully, I have a dog now who cleans up gross spills like that for me.
That helps.
But yeah, no, it's just not a terribly pleasant process. So anyway, normally it would have been a no-brainer for soup for me, but I'm just so not in a soup mood right now. And also, salt goes in everything I cook.
Sure.
I don't use a lot of canned food, mostly because I don't think to get them at the grocery store, and then I'm too lazy to go get them by the time I'm cooking.
Sure.
So it's mostly, you know, vegetables and spices and whatever I already have in the cupboard, and salt is a very necessary component if the only other things in my pot are, you know, chickpeas and old onion skins.
Sure, sure.
So if I had to choose between salt and soup, one thing that I could not live without for the rest of my life, it's definitely salt. If I had to choose one thing that I would like to eat for dinner tonight, it's definitely not salt. But I also don't really want soup that doesn't have any salt in it. So I'm going to go with salt.
Okay.
I think. But I'm still a little torn, because I would be really unhappy if someone gave me a little bowl of salt and said, here's your dinner.
Sure, yeah. I mean, that's the challenging thing about, like, this comes up all the time in this tournament. We'll have actual, like, food items, and then we'll have ingredients, right? And I feel like ingredients tend to be challenging for people, because they're like, yeah, I mean, I love this ingredient, but, like, I don't want just this ingredient, right? But I think it helps when you frame it as, like, salt is in everything, right? And salt makes everything better. Am I locking that in as a vote for salt?
Yes, you are. You are locking it in as a vote for salt. And it's just, it feels so unfair. It feels so unfair, because I think if you'd caught me this time last year, it definitely would have been a vote for soup.
Sure. I mean, and, you know, these things happen.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's actually kind of interesting when I look at ingredients in my fridge and think, oh, the easiest way to use these would be soup, but I don't want soup. All kinds of interesting things happen. Like, we have a vegetable pot pie recipe we've been using a lot.
Ooh,
because
okay.
It uses soup ingredients, right, but isn't wet.
Right.
And like tonight we made a root vegetable gratin because we had so many carrots and parsnips, and I just couldn't face the thought of soup. I should also say we do eat soup at least once a week. So it's more of an objection to I don't want soup more than once a week.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, fair enough. Like, I eat pasta every day for work, right? And like, as a result, I don't always want pasta for dinner. Like, it, I think even though I would sooner vote for pasta than like most other things, because I like it a lot, I don't necessarily always want it, right? And I think there's validity to voting with what your gut tells you in that moment, even if it goes against what you normally would vote for. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel confident in my choice to vote for salt.
All right. So the next matchup comes from our champions bracket. These are two foods that made it to the semifinals last year, and now one of them will make it to the semifinals this year, which is fun. And that is berries versus hot sauce.
This is such an interesting pairing, and I will also say it's not a fair one for me. It's a hands down no contest vote for berries.
Okay.
And I will tell you why. Because my parents' house that they just moved out of last spring, my mom planted 6 raspberry plants when we moved in the summer I turned 7. And by the time they left, they had taken over the entire yard. We were measuring our jam production every summer in gallons.
Whoa.
As the unit. Like, it started to become a little bit of a problem, actually. Like, we'd have to plan our vacations around when the raspberries wouldn't be producing as much so that we could make sure we got all the jam, especially last summer, because my parents knew they were moving already,
right,
and they knew it would be the last harvest. My mom finally realized that she could freeze berries in the summer, so she could just focus on picking them and then make the jam in the winter. So she actually finished making the last batch of jam, I think, right before Christmas.
Okay.
But raspberries are such a fixture of almost all of my childhood memories.
Yeah.
And like, if I had play dates in the summer, we also had a pool in the backyard. And that was all I would do with my friends in the summer. They would come over and we would go swimming and stuff our faces with raspberries and get a bunch of mosquito bites.
Please tell me that your mom like took some raspberry canes to replant at the new place after moving.
She did, but they moved from Western New York to Northern New York, and the topsoil layer in Northern New York is about 6 inches thick.
Sure.
So she doesn't have high hopes for the new raspberry patch. So we're relying on last year's jam supply to last us quite a while.
Sure, yeah.
And I also moved last summer, and I had a nice volunteer raspberry patch at my last house, and I also brought some raspberry canes with me. So we'll see how both of the new berry patches do this summer. And I have some strawberries and some blueberries in my yard too. But to me, berries are like, they're very much a luxury, but they're the kind of luxury that you have to like gorge yourself on when they're in season. And tomatoes too. Like,
tomatoes are a berry.
It's true. They are. Okay. That makes it even less of a question. Tomatoes. Yeah. But if I don't eat my fill of berries during berry season, then I miss them the rest of the year. So I know I need to get to the point of being almost sick of them by the end of the summer so that I don't miss the fresh berries as much in the winter.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. We had like a crazy berry harvest this year. We don't have much, but we have like some raspberry and some currant growing in our garden out here. And like, they were still growing in November, I think. It was bizarre. Like, we had a very warm fall.
Wow.
And it was so nice to be able to like leave my house on the way to work and like grab a couple berries and just pop them in my mouth, you know?
Yeah, no, berries are the kind of thing, especially raspberries, that I won't spend money on at the grocery store even when they're in season, because growing up with a backyard full of them, I did not realize how expensive they
are.
And I'm almost willing to pay $7 for a tiny container, but not quite. I would much rather buy raspberry canes and plant them where I have outdoor space.
Right.
But there's nothing like a bowl of granola with fresh raspberries on it. It's just one of the best foods ever.
Sure.
I really like hot sauce. And I was thinking about this earlier today. But you can make hot sauce with berries in it.
Sure, yeah.
Like, I think a raspberry hot sauce would be quite good.
Absolutely.
And I really like hot sauce on stir fries and scrambled eggs. And I had I'm trying to remember what it was. It was a smoked mango, maybe, but the sauce itself was green, so I'm questioning myself on that. But it was a smoked mango jalapeno hot sauce. I'm gonna go with that because it sounds good. It was so good on a fried egg sandwich with avocado and cheddar. It just really like made all of the flavors pop, and it was a little bit sour and not too hot and a little bit sweet.
There is nothing better than hot sauce on. Like, that is, I think, the perfect expression of hot sauce for me is like breakfast food.
Yeah. I mean, I would miss it a little bit on stir fries, but sure. I would miss it the most on breakfast food.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so we've got a vote for salt and a vote for berries. That's very exciting. I love when we get to the quarterfinals because it starts to give me a sense of like what direction the tournament is really heading, you know? Between salt and berries, which one do you think deserves the win this year?
In terms of which one I want to hear about the most, you know what? That's actually still a difficult question because I think there's so much interesting to talk about with the history of salt and currency and different forms it used to take and like old cast iron wood burning stoves have little salt containers where you keep the salt above it to keep it dry so you could still get some out. There's all kinds of stuff about salt in the Bible, and like I think there's actually a lot of interesting history to delve into there, even though it is just salt. It's just an ingredient. But there are so many kinds of berries, mm-hmm. and there are so many things you can do with berries, and I can think of at least two really great children's books about berries. There are a lot of indigenous berry plants to North America and a lot of indigenous wisdom around berries as well. Mm. So I would be quite happy to hear you talk about either one for a whole season.
Yeah, fair. Well, hey, thank you so much again for, making the time to call in, to judge, to cast your votes. Is there anything you want people to check out while you're here? Any plugs or anything?
I'll give you a link to my website to put in the show notes. Sweet. I'm accepting new violin students in the Laurentians, and I'm also booking weddings and other special events for the coming summer and fall.
Sweet.
And I have a few other projects that are sort of in the process of percolating. So if people follow me on social media, I don't want to lock myself into something that then might not happen.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
But I'll post those updates on my website and my social medias.
Perfect.
As they arise.
Awesome. Well, thanks again.
Thank you so much, Tom.
Well, 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 boy, howdy. Will you look at that?
Boy, howdy.
I haven't said boy, howdy in a while. Erica voted for salt and berries. You know what? I support her in this.
Me too. Me too.
I support her in this. Yeah. This is a good vote in my book.
I think so.
Not only because berries are my pick, but because I'm glad to see Erica has good taste. But there's still more votes to cast, so don't pour all your soup and hot sauce down the drain just yet and take up a diet of solely berries and salt. Guys, don't do that.
Don't do that.
That's not a good idea.
Bad choice.
Bad choice. Before we throw it to our second judge, let's just go over to the mid-roll and tell the folks at home how they can support the show.
Let's take a stroll to the mid-roll.
Take it to the mid-roll.
Let's take a stroll to the mid-roll. If you're enjoying the show so far, make sure to hit subscribe on whatever platform you're listening on so that you never miss a new episode. While you're at it, consider leaving a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or sharing this episode with a friend. For every new rating and review we get during the month of March, we'll be donating $2 to The Depot, our local food bank here in NDG. They can turn every $1 into $3 worth of food for a family in need, so by doing the simple free act of leaving a rating and review of this show, you're functionally donating $6 worth of food to people who need it. There is literally no other way to turn 0 into 6, so if that math sounds groovy, go do it. You can read all about what The Depot is doing at the link in the description of this episode.
And if you join our Patreon, you'll get access to our exclusive newsletter, the No Bad Food Recipe Club, and our Discord
Boy,
server.
Boy, howdy!
Which, unlike it sounds, is not discordant, but rather harmonious, where we post new recipes for you to try out and share with your friends and family, or maybe just the guy you see at the bus stop. Plus, patrons are invited to participate as guest judges on Munch Madness, so if that's exciting for you, act fast, and we'll do our best to make it happen. If you aren't already a member of our Patreon, please consider joining up today at patreon.com/nobadfoodpod.
All right, let's hear from our second guest. Okay, folks, our second guest judge here on this quarterfinal matchup of No Bad Food Munch Madness 2024 is Sophie Lane, singer-songwriter extraordinaire, lover of couscous and all things delicious, New Englander to the stars.
Yeah, that's a great intro. Thanks so much for having me again.
How you doing, Soph?
I'm doing great. I'm good. Thrilled to be here, as always.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. All right. Should we dive in? Should we get this party started?
Absolutely. I've got my notes ready. I've done some actual research. Last time I kind of dove into it a little bit underprepared, and I wasn't going to let that happen again. I really take this very seriously.
Sure, sure. Well, the pressure is lower this time. Last year, I think we had you on for the finale.
Yeah, the pressure is slightly lower this time, but ramped up in my brain.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and I mean, let's face it, whoever moves forward from here today, there's a pretty solid chance they might end up in the finals. So
true. And I feel like today's contestants are very like hotly debated. It's very controversial.
Oh yeah, all four
I
of these
get
could
canceled
easily
really easily.
That's it. So welcome to the cancellation of Sophie Lane. That's the real reason we're here today, folks.
Finally,
it was bound to happen eventually. You moved to Montreal, everyone gets canceled here eventually.
So true.
All right, so let's dive in. Our first matchup today is from our write-in division, Salt versus Soup. Where are you at?
So, okay, the first thing I have written down here is you can have salt without soup, but you can't have soup without salt, hopefully. If we dive into the history of salt versus soup, some of the earliest evidence of salt processing dates around 6,000 BC.
Yeah.
And I really thought salt was going to be older than soup, but it turns out they've been making soup since like 20,000 BC. They used to just like boil meat in like caveman times. And so soup is actually like historically like the grandparent. And salt processing came far later, which was very surprising to me.
Yeah.
In my research.
I mean, I guess it makes sense, right? Like, at what point would we have figured out like, oh, we can heat stuff up by putting it in hot water and it tastes a little better, and that versus at what point did we first think to lick a rock?
I think if I was a caveman, I'd be licking all the rocks.
I guess that's true, yeah.
I'm just like not like other girls, so you know, I would have figured it out. But
you're really trying to get canceled today, admitting to licking rocks on microphone.
No, okay. I actually think I am gonna try and get canceled today on purpose.
Perfect, perfect.
So I'm struggling between loving soup, of course, who doesn't?
Sure.
Pho, lemon Greek soup, some of my favorites, miso soup. But then at the same time, salt. Like, where would we be without salt? I don't want to live in a world without salt.
Sure.
I might live in a world without soup and be okay, especially if I didn't know what I was missing. But I feel like I'd have like a feeling in my heart that something was missing if there was no salt.
Hmm.
I'm also, I have dysautonomia, which is a condition where your body can't regulate some of its like internal processes. And doctors literally tell you to eat salt in order to regulate
your body. That's
so
cool.
For health reasons, that's a big up for salt.
Yeah.
And I have lots of friends with this condition who I'm sure would also swear by salt. It's a very difficult question. Lemon salt is really that girl. Pink salt, gorgeous, perfect. But I think I'm going to have to go with salt for those reasons.
Sure. I mean, I feel like doctor recommended that I eat a lot of this so that I can regulate my body properly is a pretty fucking valid reason to vote for something. I don't know.
Yeah, like soup just doesn't do that for me, unfortunately, although I love her.
That's fascinating. I would love to chat with you about that sometime. That's I've never heard of that before.
Oh yeah, it's like, cute. It's a fun time.
Yeah, I'm sure it is exhausting.
I love it. Yeah, I think it's great.
Okay, so that's a vote for salt.
Yeah, I think that is my official vote.
All right, then I can officially tell you that that means it is unanimous and salt will be moving on to the semifinals.
Oh, yes. Okay, great. That makes me feel better. I love to have approval.
There you go. So nothing cancelable yet. So far, you're in the clear. We do have a second matchup, though, so we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. How many rocks have you licked today?
Unfortunately, zero, but I might make that one or two by the end of the night. We'll see.
Perfect, perfect. All right. So our second matchup is from our champions division. These are two foods that made it to at least the semifinals last year. And in fact, these two both only made it to the semifinals. They lost to their respective, you know, counterparts, who they then dethroned in the first round of this year's tournament, which is fun. And that is berries and hot sauce.
Yeah, this one hurt. This one really is like a punch to the gut.
Yeah.
Because, okay, I'm a big hot sauce girl. Anyone who knows me knows I'm really into condiments, but specifically hot sauce. I think I put it on maybe like 75% of everything I eat,
Sure.
which is insane. Specifically like Piri Piri hot sauce or Tabasco. I mean, I can't even choose. I love hot sauce. Berries, I would say similarly, I put on everything sweet that I eat, like on
Right.
ice cream, on cereal, on oatmeal. Also, I have to give credit where credit is due because berries, like we were living off berries. I'm really going into the history of the foods this year.
Sure.
We like our nomadic ancestors were like living off of berries. And I mean, of course, my 21st century brain is like, I need dopamine and hot sauce to eat, but that's not berries' fault. Like
Sure.
they've been out here doing hard work for our society for millennia or something. Maybe not millennia, thousands of years. I don't know. My personal preference would be hot sauce, but that's not exactly what this is. So berries can be a snack on their own, whereas hot sauce is just a topping. Although some brave humans, I'm not saying I do this, but I'm also not saying I don't do this, might just eat hot sauce on their own. But berries, oh, this one is extremely difficult. We were
Sure.
referencing Sophie's Choice when you let me know what these categories were going to be, and it really is a Sophie's Choice.
In all fairness, every time that I invite you onto the show, it's a Sophie's Choice.
Yeah, every time. It's difficult.
Your parents really
It's
did that to you.
more difficult for me being named Sophie than anyone else.
I feel like anybody who's born after that movie came out who gets named Sophie, their parents had to know, right?
I hadn't watched that movie. Yeah, they definitely had watched that movie, but I hadn't watched it until very recently.
It's
It's a
dark.
sad.
It's
Yeah, it's not happy.
like maybe the darkest thing that I ever joke about. Yep.
Meryl really, she did that.
We love Meryl.
Amen. So I choose Meryl Streep as my answer. I really don't know though. I'm unsure. This is the one that I feel I'm most likely to be canceled for.
Sure.
Because I feel like the Barry fans are really out there, like supporting their girl, and the hot sauce fans are rabid. Speaking as a hot sauce fan myself, we are out of control. Something's wrong with our brains. The amount of like painful sauce we put on our food.
I feel like the Barry fans are more likely to cancel you, and the hot sauce fans are more likely to murder you in your sleep.
Yeah, no, for real. I need to lock my door. Oh, I'm sweating. I don't know. Was I supposed to like choose before I came here? I come here and I have like a crisis on the
Listen,
podcast.
that's what it takes sometimes. I've had people phone in thinking they were going to vote one way, and then by the end of talking through it, realize that they're changing
Yeah.
their minds. Like this is just how it goes sometimes.
And I can't choose both. That's not
No,
how this works.
unfortunately, yeah.
No. Okay.
And I can't even tell you how the other guest judge voted because
I know.
I can't say anything that'll influence your vote.
Okay. I am allergic to strawberries. That seems important in
Sure.
this context. But again, it's not about me. It's really not. And who am I? Who am I to make this decision?
Can I condemn this snack to slavery?
That's really good. I hope your audience gets that joke.
Oh, they won't.
Yeah, because I think hot sauce probably does more harm to most people, and berries have never done harm. I am allergic to strawberries, but otherwise, I don't think they do harm. And that's, but like a hot sauce, whether you're allergic or not, is harmful to the body. I don't know. But I really feel like I'm betraying. Oh, I think I have to go with berries just because they're a kinder food. Hot sauce is very polarizing and a painful one to many people. Berries don't widely hurt most of the population. And so for that reason, I have to, Your Honor, go with berries. Oh my God. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know how earlier you said that it was validating to know that the other guest judge voted for salt as well?
Oh no.
They also voted for berries.
Yes.
And
Yes!
thank you, because this makes scheduling recording with the guests for the semifinals much easier because I can just do it right away because I don't have to wait for a tiebreaker
Oh my gosh, you're so
vote.
welcome.
So I'm
Wow, I'm thrilled. Okay,
happy. This is
great.
how I was hoping you would vote tonight because it makes my life easier logistically. Look, I mean, the thing about berries versus hot sauce is I think you're exactly right that, like, hot sauce is delicious. It's wonderful. It accentuates everything. But,
yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, hot sauce makes your butt burn. And berries don't do that unless you eat way too many of them. And like,
whoa, I've never had that experience with berries. I think you need to go to a doctor.
Probably. Well, I just mean like, you know, if you have too much fiber, it's a bad thing, right? And like,
yeah.
I think it's much easier to have a painful amount of hot sauce in your life than a painful amount of berries.
Yeah.
So I think you're spot on there in choosing the kind of like softer choice. And I think also this is a year where people kind of want like cozy things that just feel like they're like giving them a little something extra, you know?
Yeah, cottagecore, I mean, ever since the pandemic, like, cottagecore has really been up in popularity, and berries are the most cottagecore thing I can possibly think of.
Sure.
I am a big pie person as well, so that's definitely playing a part in this decision.
Sure.
But it is funny because every year I nominate Takis, which are the spiciest, sourest things known to man. So I do feel a little bit like I'm betraying myself, but it's what I had to do.
I mean, look, you contain multitudes, right?
Yes, exactly. I'm not simple.
Like, you voted for salt and berries, you know? These are not the same by any stretch of the imagination. So I think you're in the clear. You've expressed to us, you know, remorse about the ones you didn't vote for. These were two very hard matchups. I think you're good, is what I'm saying.
Okay. Thank you. I really needed that.
I think you may still get canceled tonight.
I'm gonna go celebrate my last night before this airs.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. I think by the time this episode comes out, you'll probably have done something to get yourself canceled, but I don't think you did it on mic.
Perfect. Thank you for your faith in me.
I both believe in your ability to record a podcast without getting canceled and in your ability to get canceled over the next like 72 hours. Because again,
thank you, Tom.
We contain multitudes.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. What a beautiful lesson.
Before I let you go tonight, do you have anything you want to plug? Anything you want people to check out? Any upcoming shows, etc.?
Yes, go follow my band, Something at the Bottom of the Lake. That's our name on Instagram. We have a funk show coming up at Barbosa. I think this will be out before, 72 hours. Yeah.
This comes out Monday.
Perfect. Yeah. So yeah, come to our show on April 29th at Barbosa Jazz Bar. It's going to be super fun. Lots of funky covers, even a funkified Ariana Grande song. Ooh. So I'll hope to see you there, Montreal. April 29th.
Well, that is very exciting. And do you have social media you want people to follow?
Yeah, absolutely. Go follow me. I'm very active on Instagram, Sophie Lane Music. And on Facebook, I'm also Sophie Lane Music. And go listen to my music on Spotify. I am Sophie Lane. And if you want some sad folk, that's what I do, baby.
Oh, yeah. Perfect. Well, hey, thank you again for coming in and casting two votes that ended up being extremely convenient for my scheduling. And bearing your soul here on this podcast and for coming dangerously close to getting canceled at least once, but managing to just toe that line. It's what the listeners
Anytime,
want.
Anytime, Tom. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks so much. Take care.
Bye.
Well, there we have it, folks. Sophie didn't second guess anything, and Sophie voted for salt and berries, which means we have two unanimous victories today.
So now you can throw out all your soup and hot sauce and start eating only berries and salt.
Dump that shit. Clog the drain.
Power.
Clog the drain 2024.
Oh, God.
Drain the clogs.
Clog the swamp.
Create a new swamp filled with sop, soup, slop, and hot sauce.
Swamps are thriving ecosystems that are essential to global health.
And they need your hot sauce.
Get out of my swamp!
But Shrek, I brought you some soup. Well, that changes everything. So yeah, salt and berries. Moving on to the semis. Soup and hot sauce will sit forgotten in the back of the fridge, developing a rich film of bacteria.
Oh, God, until next year. Why?
Sometimes I write things in the copy just to make Teffer kind of cry a little bit.
Just for that, you get to clean out the fridge tonight before garbage night.
Ooh, baby. Can't wait.
Next week, we move into the semi-finals. The semi-sweet semi-finals, where chocolate will face off against salt. Two really... one of my favorite pairings, honestly.
This is an exciting one, yeah.
And rice will go up against berries. We really have a powerful powerful Final Four this year.
We do.
I am impressed.
Yeah.
I feel like tensions are going to be running high. Yeah. Feelings will be strong. Mm-hmm. These, I don't want to live without any of these.
No, no.
I love all of these so much.
This is a really, really solid Final Four.
Yeah. And I really love how it's like very like essentials, you know?
Yeah.
Like in the past, we've always had something a little bit fancy. This time it's really just like basics, essentials. What do you want to have in mm-hmm. your house? Mm-hmm. I want to have all of these in my house all the time.
Yeah.
It's a stacked Final Four this year, which means we have something in common, and it's only going to get more exciting between here and the end.
Which means we have something in common. Well, thank you, dear listener, for listening to No Bad Food Pod's Munch Madness quarterfinal wrap-up.
Woo!
Semis next week, gang.
Woo!
It's going to be hype.
Woo!
It's going to be big.
Woo!
It's going to be yummy.
It's going to be a good one, folks.
Oh, ma. It's going to be yummy. Do you want to be part of... baby, do you want to be part of the conversation? Hit us up on the socials at No Bad Food Pod and individually at Tefferbear and at Tom Zalatni. If you like this episode and want to help us make the show even better, you can head to patreon.com/nobadfoodpod and donate for as little as $1 per month. That is not that much money.
$1. That's just $1, folks.
Ooh, $1. Swing! You'll be joining the ranks of fine folks like Chantal H, Gab, Erica, Andrew, Chantal T, David, Mallory, Sarah, Carol Ann, Rachel, Aslam, Anne, and our newest patron, Eric! Fun fact about patrons named Eric is that a long time ago I had a patron named Eric who ended up giving us thousands of dollars all at once because he came into a bunch of money one time. And that was pretty cool. So
bar is set, Eric. Do you want to be the first Eric?
Do you want to be Eric number one?
I like how we have an Erica and an Erica now.
They should fight.
I appreciate that. Erica is a mother of two. Erica will take anyone down.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be fair.
Eric, are you going to take that lying down?
Maybe he is, actually.
He's sitting up.
Anyway,
we don't know.
Sorry, Eric. We just have a tendency to bully our new patrons. You didn't know that before you gave us money.
Maybe you did. Welcome to the club, man. We love you. Thanks for your support. We love all of you. Thanks for all of your support. And, you know, we couldn't make the show without the help of all of y'all. We couldn't eat without the help of all of y'all sometimes. So thank you for it.
Our patrons also get access to all kinds of awesome perks, including the ability to request topics for episodes of the show when we are done Munch Madness. Mm-hmm. So if that is exciting to you, head to patreon.com/nobadfoodpod and make it happen. For example, once we have a winner of Munch Madness, let's say you have a favorite berry, chocolate, salt, or rice that you want us to talk about.
Yeah.
You could make us do that.
It's true.
Let's say you want to make us do an episode about tomatoes as berries. You can make us do that.
Yeah.
We also have merch, and you can hit the merch link in the description of this or any other episode to get all sorts of great stuff from our friends over at Pod Cavern. And of course, you can always support us for free. Your free support means a lot by leaving a rating and review on your podcatcher of choice, especially right now, Spotify. Spotify introduced reviews soon, and getting traction on Spotify would be really, really great.
Yeah.
And by sharing this episode with a friend.
Our theme music is by Trading in His Chevy for a Cadillac, Zach Ingalls, and our cover art is by David, the guy you see at the bus stop, Flam.
You gotta sing that.
No, I don't. I've been sick all week. I can't just recite Billy Joel? Are you telling me I can't just recite Billy Joel?
You have to sing Billy Joel.
How dare you?
Show them your dulcet tones.
I can do whatever I'd like with Billy Joel. And our cover art is by David, I can do whatever I like with Billy Joel, Flam. You can find links for both of them in the description of this episode.
And last but not least, this show was produced by Tom Chocolate Zalatni. Nope, that's not true. This show was produced by Tom Salty Zalatni.
Better.
And Taffer Ajebian, and edited by Tom Zalatni as part of the Pod Cavern Network. You can find out about all the great shows on our network at www.podcavern.com. We'll see you next week, and in the meantime, remember,
there's no such thing
as bad food. You understand. It just takes a little time.
No Bad Food is a proud member of the Pod Cavern Network. For more great shows like this one, head to podcavern.com.
Have you ever seen those lists on the internet that's like top 5 sandwich toppings, top 5 movies of the year, top 5 celebrities who have a very punchable face? You know what I'm talking about. The point is, all these lists drive us crazy because we have no idea who made them and how they even narrowed down their top 5 list. That's where my podcast comes in. My name is Tung Law, and I am the host of Ranked, Top 5 Lists of Stuff That Don't Matter. In every episode, with the help of a motley crew of self-proclaimed experts, we debate, battle, and work together, showing you the entire process of how we got there to create a top 5 list of any and every topic we can think of, like top 5 brunch menu items, top 5 fictional dogs, top 5 90s songs, top 5 Steves. The list goes on and on, and we will not rest till we rank basically everything. So join us every second Thursday in the Pod Cavern for Ranked, Top 5 Lists of Stuff That Don't Matter.
Top 5, top 5, top 5.
In 2017, Universal Studios announced The Dark Universe, an ambitious project that would see all of their classic movie monsters come together like some kind of horror Avengers. Only one movie was ever made, which bombed so hard they canceled the entire franchise. But what if they hadn't?
On our podcast, Are You Afraid of the Dark Universe, we imagine the connected horror universe that never was. Every week, one of us pitches the other on the next movie in the universe until we grow to Marvel proportions and beyond.
So far, we've tackled Frankenstein, the Wolfman, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and many more, and we're just getting started. Follow along on your favorite podcast app and ask yourself the question,
Are you afraid of the dark universe?